Today on Working the Suburbs.
Over the line!
Huh?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our show. If you're listening to this on the day it is released, that's May 6th, 2025. And that's important for today's topic. But I also want to let you know, April new music submissions have started coming in, and we're going to get to that in a week or so. And that's always a great time, as you know. And anybody who would like to highlight a record released in April, we'd love to hear from you. Best way is to create a voice file and email it as an attachment to rock@suburbspod.com with April new music in the subject line. If you do, please, that helps us quite a bit. Or if you're so inclined, you can do this.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
That number is 612-440-1984. All right, everybody. Today, as I said, May 6th, I was doing some browsing around certain places of information and came across the fact that today is the 80th birthday of one of my favorite musicians, Jimmy Dale Gilmore. He was born on May 6, 1945 in Amarillo, Texas. He grew up in Lubbock, Texas. And I thought it would be great to just spend a few minutes highlighting a couple of things about Jimmy Dale's career and telling you a little bit about him. I'm not sure how much folks know, but I think he's an excellent, excellent musician and an outstanding and inspirational figure in the world of music. And he's a little bit of a critic's darling, but that's the kind of thing I like. And a little bit eccentric, and that's the kind of thing I like. And he mixes all different styles of different kinds of music, and that's the kind of thing I like. I did notice that on Sunday, I believe it was May 4th, there was an event held in Austin, Texas at the Paramount Theater, and it was called Jimmy Dale Gilmore Marks It 80. And any of you who know about a certain film role he held, and we'll talk about that a little later, you'll get that joke. It was a celebration, I'm quoting now, of Jimmy's 80th birthday with the West Texas Exiles and special guests Dave Alvin, Butch Hancock, Kerry Rodriguez, Kelly Willis, Joe Harvey Allen, Terry Allen, Christine Albert and Chris Gage, Rosie Flores, Bill Kirchin, John Doe, Bonnie Whitmore, and more. Most of the proceeds from that event went to charity. On his website, JimmyDaleGilmore.com, the bio states, quote, Gilmore makes music that springs from West Texas dusty high plains, blending elements of folk, rock, country, blues, and bluegrass, which sounds about right to my ears as a longtime listener now of Jimmy Dale Gilmore's music. Jimmy Dale Gilmore's dad was a guitarist in a honky-tonk band, which fueled Jimmy as a young man, his interest in music. He, you know, by the time he could start getting into popular music, he was into Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison. And there was a landmark 1955 concert he attended. I'm guessing his dad took him to that, which featured Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley. And that made a massive impression on a 10-year-old Jimmy Dale. He was profoundly influenced in the 1960s by the Beatles and Bob Dylan. And folk music and the whole folk and blues revival that took place in that decade was a huge thing for him as well. Jimmy Dale learned to play guitar, and a chance encounter led him to cut some demos with Buddy Holly's father in the mid-1960s, which were shopped out to various labels, but did not find any interest or any takers. Gilmore eventually went to Austin and tried his luck in music there, but it wasn't until 1970, when he moved back to Lubbock, that things really started to happen in his career. He ran into two musicians he had known since his teenage years and I think earlier, Joe Ely and Butch Hancock, and the three of them ended up rooming together. Their frequent jam sessions in the house they lived in and became kind of a gathering place for people to jam. And it began to build this momentum between the three of them as they started to write songs and put stuff together. Jimmy Dale remembers, this is from the liner notes of a CD, he remembers, quote, "It was no design to put a band together as such, but the chemistry was so great that it took on a life of its own. We all had a common love of folk music, country, and country blues, but we also loved the Beatles. There was great radio in Lubbock at the time, especially the border stations at night. We listened to it all." Other musicians, as I said, drifted in and out of the scene and the group and the jam sessions, including one Steve Wesson, who actually learned to play the musical saw so he could fit in. And eventually a band of sorts was formed and ended up heading to Nashville in early 1972 to cut their songs with well-known producer Shelby Singleton. The sound has been described as, quote, "a pre-war 78 without the hiss," end quote. And this was paired with lyrics that struck, for me, like a remarkable balance between being otherworldly and having these really sharp contemporary observations and an amazing eye for detail. A bunch of songs were cut, and after a few months, Singleton released a double-sided promo of Gilmore's song Dallas, a wonderful song with its memorable opening line, "Did you ever see Dallas from a DC-9 at night?"
From a DC-9 at night. Well, Dallas is a jewel. Oh yeah, Dallas is a beautiful sight. And Dallas is a jungle, but Dallas gives a beautiful light. Did you ever see Dallas from a DC-9 at night? Well, Dallas is a woman who will walk on you when you're down. But when you are up, she's the kind you wanna take around. But Dallas ain't a woman to help you get your feet on the ground. And Dallas is a woman who will walk on you.
Single didn't get a whole lot of interest, hardly any, actually, and though an album had been mastered and was ready to press, Singleton gave up on the project, presumably due to the single's lack of traction with radio or pretty much anybody else. It was, however, and I love this about the Flatlanders legend, it was manufactured as an 8-track tape with the title All American Music. Needless to say, that was not a blockbuster, if it was even distributed at all, which it was, and copies have been changed hands on Discogs from time to time. I do not own one. It is on my want list. I'll go over to Bud Verge's and play it. The group played a few sporadic gigs after the recording, but eventually they drifted apart. Gilmore would not make another album for almost 16 years. I don't think I'll be home in time to die. spending the intervening time studying Vedanta philosophy and then learning under the guru Maharishi in Denver, Colorado. He only played music during this time as a hobby. The Flatlanders record was reissued in the UK by the Charlie label in 1980 under the title One Road More, and eventually in the US by Rounder Records in 1990 as More a Legend Than a Band. Now that's where I got into it. Fell in love with it. Couldn't believe that they made this thing in 1972. It sounded to me like alt country music that was just starting to emerge and that I was really kind of into. You know, like something right out of the pages of No Depression magazine, describing like a dream record. This, I think, led to the Flatlanders getting the Sobriquet Godfathers of Alt Country or something along those lines. Certainly, they were doing something that was alt country way before others were doing it. And certainly, as you know, described, it was just a culmination of their influences, not any particular means or reason to do so. Gilmore returned to Austin by the mid to late 80s and ended up making a solo record. It was called Fair and Square. It came out in 1988 and consisted largely of covers, some by his old pals Hancock and Ely, the latter of whom produced the record. Fair and Square was the first of a string of solo LPs. More were issued in 89, 92, 93, and 96, Braver New World, which gained some notoriety. I believe one of the songs was featured in a Noah Baumbach movie. One Endless Night was the record he put out in 2000, and all of these records, I think, are really good. They feature Jimmy's lovely voice, which has a tender, haunting quality to it that's really kind of hard to describe unless you hear it, and just this lovely mix of folk and country and blues and all kinds of music that just kind of feels saturated inside of Jimmy Dale Gilmore. That album, One Endless Night, that I mentioned, was his last solo effort prior to Gilmore, Ely, and Hancock getting back together as the Flatlanders and issuing their proper debut album, Now Again, on New West Records in 2002. That thing was hailed by many, many people as a welcome return to form for a band that never really got their due, and it was amazing that they were able to get back together, those three core people, and put that out. It's a wonderful record.
Standing in the station, I got no destination, I'm waving my heart goodbye. I'm walking in the crowd and I'm talking out loud and I'm telling myself don't cry. And Lord, I'd rather not forget what I forgot, but I guess I'm gonna have to try. Stand
nearby. I know it's not to blame, but it's leaving just the same, and nobody ever asked it why. Standing in the rain, wondering if the train will stop before the tears will dry. Standing in the station, it's a sad situation, I'm waving my heart goodbye. It's moving down the track and it ain't looking back, and I'm feeling like I could die. A train is made to roam like a heart without a home, and I'm thinking maybe so was I.
And they've released three more albums since then. They've toured all over the place and put out a couple live records. So it's the Flatlanders back. And Jimmy Dale Gilmore, you know, was right at the heart and the center of all that activity. And all that music is definitely worth checking out and listening to. I find it immensely entertaining. And there is the fact of that we hinted about earlier in this episode. Gilmore made a small but very notable appearance in the Coen Brothers movie Big Lebowski as Smokey, who Walter was sure was over the line.
Over the line!
Huh?
I'm sorry, Smokey. You were over the line. That's a foul.
Bullish. Market 8, dude.
Excuse me. Market 0, next frame.
Bullish, Walter. Market 8, dude.
Smokey, this is not Nom. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't...
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over.
I was able to see the Flatlanders live at the Birchmere sometime, I believe it was around their Wheels of Fortune LP, which was released in 2004. And I'll never forget this. I was sitting near the back of the Birchmere. It wasn't a very full house, pretty full, but some of the back tables were empty, and I took up one of the spots. I was actually reviewing the show for the Washington Post when I worked for them, freelancing, covering concerts at the time. And I had my notebook out. I was making some notes as the set was going on. And after a while, a gentleman came and sat down to my right and smiled at me. And I said, hey, how you doing? And he said, hi, are you Patrick? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm the manager of the Flatlanders. And, you know, we noticed you were going to be here tonight. We'd love, do you want to come backstage after the show and meet the guys? And I was like, okay. And man, they couldn't have been nicer. They were really wonderful. And I went back there and had a drink and chatted with them for about 15 minutes. They were just really generous with their time. And of course, I had to ask Jimmy Dale Gilmore, you know, do more people recognize you, you know, as Jimmy Dale Gilmore, the musician from the Flatlanders, or do they recognize you as Smokey from the Big Lebowski? And without missing a beat, he said, what do you think, dude? So that was really wonderful. Just lucked into that. It was a great moment. And I just wanted to take a little bit of time and mark the occasion of Jimmy Dale's 80th. I think he's an American musical giant in my mind. And he, all his solo work, his philosophy, his approach to music, and especially that original spirit of the Flatlanders inspired me greatly, which in turn, I guess, to some degree inspired this podcast. So hopefully that all comes full circle. But I did want to take a moment and say happy 80th to you, Jimmy Dale Gilmore. According to his website, one of Jimmy's favorite side gigs is teaching songwriting workshops, and he has taught an Omega songwriting workshop in Rhinebeck, New York, annually since 1996, and I noticed that is on the schedule again for this year. So if you go to jimmydalegilmore.com, you'll see all of his tour dates, and I believe it's sometime in August. He's on the road with Dave Alvin, and it's Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Dave Alvin, and the Guilty Ones. They're playing a whole bunch this summer, mainly in the Midwest and West. And he does have that songwriting workshop coming up August 10th through August 15th in Rhinebeck, New York, songwriting with Jimmy Dale Gilmore. Now, that would be an amazing thing to attend. Finally, to close it all out, on his website, it says, in 2025, Jimmy turns 80, that's today, and continues to share his passion for music with the world. He's still here, whether on the road, on the stage, teaching songwriting, or hanging out in his favorite border town, doing what he loves, writing, playing, and singing. So happy birthday to you, Jimmy Dale Gilmore. Join me in saying that. And with that, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. I do not own one. It is on my want list. I'll go over to Bud Verge's and play it.